Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
We got good things lined up for you this hour. Some entertainment news coming up. That ain't right story or two. We're going to get some local good stories of the day. All of that coming up for you that we are looking forward to, everybody. But it's a Monday. It's the 9 o'clock hour. You know what time it is. Tell me something good.
Welcome to the Kitchens Open here on WFHR. This week, we're talking food containers.
Like tin cans and bottles?
Not quite. We're going to dive in into what we used to store leftovers in.
Wait, you mean we're going to finally have an answer to where the matching lids to my plastic containers went?
This week on the Kitchens Open, the case of the missing Tupperware lid.
Ooh, I knew we'd get to this eventually. Drama in the kitchen. But first, we need to thank our sponsor.
Oh, for sure. We want to thank the Southwood County YMCA for sponsoring our Kitchens Open segment. Today is Tiana Hamm's Nutrition 101 series called Mindful Eating. It takes place from 5:30 to 6:30 this evening.
You can sign up for the class by calling the main branch phone number at 715-818-9622. The cost is just $5 for members and $10 for non-members.
Great. We've covered our sponsors.
Now, back to the mystery.
It was a dark and stormy night. As Esmeralda searched for her missing green sock, she walked into the kitchen lit by flashes of lightning.
As she crossed the linoleum floor, she saw to her horror the Tupperware drawer was open.
Had someone or something been in her kitchen? It was the second week of blue lids going missing.
She felt the frustration rise up to her throat like a scream, ready to vent her rage to the skies.
Okay, seriously, guys, can we focus here? We all know the end of the story.
Okay. Sorry about that, Melissa.
Everybody knows how this tale ends. Can we get back on track now?
You take the fun out of everything.
I know. I'm just the spoil sport wanting to talk about leftover containers.
To be fair, that topic does cause some drama in the kitchen all on its own, even without the dark and stormy night stuff.
All right, fine. But you know, I was just getting into my groove there.
Well, maybe we'll come back to it. But for now, let's talk about the different containers we all have in our kitchens currently.
Oh my gosh. Mm. I got glass. I got plastic. Mm. I've got probably something that I've never identified yet.
Yeah.
Something
there.
I know we're talking about Tupperware maybe a little bit, but I love the glass. We got this set of glass ones that have this really cool plastic lid that kind of that's got flaps on it.
And you can flip it open for the steam?
Yeah, exactly. And it's got a little hole in the top that you can cover if you want to, but you can do it. So I really like those.
That's cool.
I still have my share of Tupperware, though, too.
I got to say, Seth, I am impressed, or not, with your selection.
I actually
am impressed. I could try to list some things off, but you guys know me. I don't eat things that leave leftovers. I'm cooked for myself. Who wants part of a leftover double bacon cheeseburger? No one in human history has said that. Seriously, though, the best leftovers are pasta. As everyone knows, leftover pasta should be stored in glass containers. You know, the tomato sauce stains plastic, and then they just look and smell bad forever. And even if you clean it's good, the stain is still there.
That's very true, James, especially the plastic we all used when we were kids. Speaking of those good old days, let's take a quick dip into the history of plastic. Mm.
According to Britannica.com, celluloid was the first synthetic plastic material. It was developed in the 1860s and 70s from a combination of nitrocellulose and camphor. It was a tough, flexible, and moldable material resistant to waters, oils, and dilute acids.
Some historians trace the invention to the English chemist Alexander Parkin. He was granted the first of several patents in 1856 for the plastic material he called Parkenstein.
Now, sciencehistory.com tells us the first synthetic polymer was invented in 1869 by John Wesley Hyatt, who was inspired by a New York firm's offer of $10,000. That was a lot of money back then. For anyone who could provide a substitute for ivory. The growing popularity of billiards had put a strain on the supply of natural ivory obtained through the slaughter of wild elephants.
The discovery of these man-made products provided an affordable and practical substitute for natural materials such as ivory, tortoiseshell, and horn. Advertisers claim these new plastics would protect the natural world from the destructive forces of human need.
And products made with these natural materials were popular until the 1920s and 30s and used to make everything from combs and piano keys to detachable collars and cuffs for men's clothing, and most notably it as a medium for film and motion pictures.
The downsides of celluloid were the tendency to soften under heat, being highly flammable, that's scary, and off-gassing. It was replaced with it was replaced with synthetic plastics not derived from plants and animals but from fossil fuels.
Early celluloid objects have been have become collector's items and museum artifacts. They're valued as specimens of an artificial plastic based on naturally occurring raw materials. Did you know the only thing celluloid is still commonly used for is making ping pong balls?
I didn't know that.
No, me neither.
Jeez. I mean, they are very specific. Like, we get a good ping pong ball.
It's true.
But when they get dented, then they're kind of
That's true. And I don't know many people who use them in the kitchen, so they don't melt.
Right.
I would hope, anyway, that they don't use them in the kitchen.
I've tried. It does work. Yep. Even after all these years and inventions of different products, they still haven't found a way to replace the celluloid ping pong ball.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, World War II caused the greatest expansion of the plastics industry in the U.S. Synthetic alternatives provided cheap options to replace natural products. Think nylon to replace silk for parachutes, plexiglass instead of glass for aircraft windows. During World War II, plastic production increased by 300% in the U.S. It was viewed as a safe, sanitary substance that we could shape into whatever we needed or wanted.
It wasn't until the 1960s and people started noticing the large amount of plastic containers, our oceans and environment, that the shift in perspective came.
People started talking more about the dangers of chemical exposure and the persistence of plastic waste. By the 1970s and 80s, the reputation of plastic fell even further. People became more educated about the negative effects of chemicals leaching into our food and environment because of fossil fuel-based plastic containers.
Enter the 1980s and the recycling hoax.
Ugh, don't get me started.
Nice job, Seth. Now our segment is completely derailed. I'm imagining Melissa climbing up on her soapbox right about now,
as much as I would like to discuss how corporations use the recycling myth as a way to just produce more plastic instead of talking about ways to reduce and reuse it, and the fact that less than 10% of plastic products is recycled or recyclable in today's markets, and how as vehicles move away from the demand for fuel, the oil and gas industry will double down on single-use plastics as their last gasping breath to stay alive, we'll stay focused on the topic at hand.
Okay.
Hang on 1 second. I just got to give her that bell. That was really good. That was a great rant. That was a good rant.
Thank you.
So back to the conversation about how to store leftovers.
Yes. So storing food in plastic containers is usually okay in the fridge or countertop. The danger comes with heating plastics. We know there are some plastic containers that should never be heated, but some are, quote, safer, unquote, than others. The dangerous plastics contain BPA and should always be avoided if possible.
The BPA chemicals are found in various types of food packaging. You can reduce your exposure by avoiding plastic with recycling codes 3 and 7. If you've exposed these plastics to heat, such as microwaving, you risk transferring the chemicals to your foods.
BPAs are added to plastic to help them keep their shape and pliability, but they have been linked to negative health issues, including hormone disruptions, respiratory issues, and cardiovascular diseases.
So we could get into the weeds with discussions about the different plastics and what's good or at least better and what's bad. But instead, let's talk about other alternatives you can find to store leftovers in. As Jane mentioned earlier, one of the best options is glass containers.
Glass is a great option. The marinara sauce stays fresh. It never stains the container. Other flavors don't leach into it. My leftover pasta is still great the next day, and I can remove the lid and pop it right on into the microwave without a worry.
Glass containers can also go into the freezer and the oven. Of course, you'll also want to remove the lid for the oven. Most glass containers come with plastic lids. It's recommended not to put them in the microwave or even the dishwasher. They will last longer and less heat, the less heat they're exposed to.
Another great option, and one I'm actually currently looking into, are silicone containers. I have a couple of silicone reusable bags that I like using, but they also have a full array of containers. You can find ones that nest into each other for easy storage, or ones that even collapse.
I've seen the bags. Those are nice and come in multiple sizes. You can even get a special stand to dry them on.
The important thing is know about silicone is it doesn't go cheap. The cheap versions often still contain plastic fillers. If you twist silicone and it changes color, it has plastic filler in between the layers. Hmm. You want to make sure you are buying products that contain 100% silicone.
Silicone is a man-made inorganic polymer. Food-grade silicone is non-toxic and does not contain petroleum-based chemicals. It's made from non-toxic silica, a natural compound that makes up over a quarter of the planet's crust and is found in rocks, clays, and sand.
Another great property of silicone containers is that they're antifungal and non-stick. They're also more durable than plastic and have a longer lifespan. They can be used in the freezer, microwave, and many of them even in the oven. They're dishwasher safe and resistant to food oils and most chemicals.
So I really do think I'm going to invest in these for leftovers and also for preparing meals that can be frozen and then taken on the road and reheated in the microwave or a heating element. The silicone containers I'm looking at are actually shaped like bags, but they have a flat bottom and stand up on the counter even when they're empty. So the company I'm researching is based in Texas, so they're American-made, and the product is called Zip Top. I'm only in the early stages of research, so I don't know if I can recommend them yet, but their marketing is pretty awesome. You guys will have to check out the commercial. It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you do get them, you'll have to let us know how they work out.
Mm-hmm. I will. They're not cheap, but I think the investment is worth it for our health in my household and the future of the environment. It's possible inventors may still do something with seaweed-based plastic alternatives, but for now, this looks like the best option to replace the plastic in my kitchen.
We have to work with what we know. When these products first came about, the effort behind them was to protect elephants and turtles.
Well, that didn't exactly pan out as planned.
Yeah, but they didn't know that then, or at least that's what we tell ourselves. Now that we know more about what harm these chemicals are causing to humans, animals, and the environment, I find it important to make what improvements I can in my daily life to mitigate plastic use.
Oh, very well said. I think we're running out of time, though, Mel.
You know, I guess you're right, James. We should probably thank our sponsor and close the segment.
Wait. The lightning intensified as the storm rolled in. Esmeralda turned to follow the trail of microplastics to the laundry room.
She hesitated to turn on the light. She didn't want to alert anyone of anything to her lurking, searching, inquisitive presence.
The frustration after not being able to find the blue lid again the week to cover her leftover lasagna had turned her into a raging fury, much like the storm outside.
She approached the dryer with the intensity of a detective on the trail of a murderer. It wasn't a murderer she was seeking, but the unaccounted for items necessary for her sanity. It was conceivable to her. It wasn't conceivable to have the refrigerator smelling like an Italian restaurant every time she opened the door.
Plus, her left foot was really cold.
With the speed of a tiger and the brilliance of Sherlock, she wrenched the dryer away from the wall.
And she found both the green sock and the blue lid. Guys, this is a family show, so we won't elucidate any further, and we'll leave the rest to your imagination.
And the dish ran away with the spoon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Kitchen's Open here on WFHR. We want to thank our sponsor, the Southwood County YMCA. Very soon, I will be meeting with Tiana Hamm to record several upcoming segments highlighting the events coming up at the Y.
That's great. She's a clinical dietitian and an excellent resource. I know they have several programs planned for the fall, including Kids in the Kitchen, Gluten-Free Living, Preventing and Thriving with Diabetes, and Lazy Delicious. Mm-hmm. I like the sound of that one.
You don't want to miss the Nutrition 101 series called Mindful Eating happening tonight from 5:30 to 6:30. You can sign up by calling 715-818-9622. That's 818-9622. Or by visiting their website at swcymca.org. swcymca.org.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Hey. All right. Very good.
That was a great one.
Very good.
Nicely done,
nice job,
Melissa.
Guys.
Nicely done. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. But keep in mind, every Monday, 9 o'clock hour, you'll have the kitchens open right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. I'm going to get in some entertainment news real quick here, but a big shout out to Melissa. Nice work on the kitchen's open, Mel. That was really good. That was
fun. I love that you guys play along. It's fun.
It was a lot of fun. Not playing along is Kid Rock.
Oh, no.
This is
again?
I'm sorry. This is hilarious to me. The right is losing its collective mind this morning.
Oh, boy.
Because one of their guys, their people that they really, you know, bury their flag on and everything. Anything Kid Rock says, anything Kid Rock
right,
does.
Right, right,
you know, he's on that side of things and stuff. And a couple of months ago, of course, Kid Rock shot up with a gun a bunch of cans of Bud Light, wasting a bunch of ammunition. And of course, you know, created a big controversy. Bud Light is just starting to kind of come back from.
Right.
He still bought the Bud Light, though, which is hilarious.
And to that point, if I could piggyback off of that, Melissa, he is also the scorn of the right now because he was spotted at a concert in Nashville last week doing the unthinkable, drinking Bud Light.
Did he forget? That's hilarious.
The video helps spearhead the cancellation of Bud Light, and now it is coming back on Kid Rock, where a bunch of people on the right are running the social media saying they are shooting up their Kid Rock albums. And all this, over the last couple of days, it has just caught on huge, and of people like, so who's on his side anymore now? Now he's burned bridges all over the place. Because he's not a very intelligent man. His music told you this. Kid Rock hadn't had a hit song in over two decades.
Yeah.
And even the hits that he had weren't really hits. I mean, they weren't really nobody was saying that he was really changing music. He's really doing that. It was new metal. It wasn't even new metal.
I don't know what it was.
Well, and it came out like after new metal had already done its thing and was kind of like fading, you know? I actually don't think he would be nearly as big as he was without Joe C. Without his MC there, who's no longer with us and everything. And there is one side of this that I will say. For a lot of people, that I heard some people saying when this first came about, not just this, but when Kid Rock first started going right, he always was this guy. He was always this guy.
He was do whatever he can to get attention.
He was taking hip-hop and making a name off of other people's music.
Yep.
And doing that. And then he was showing his colors full-fledged right away, where there was some stuff that was coming out about him with other things already. Mm-hmm. And then this happens. And it's not because he is the Tucker Carlson of music. What side will have me? For those that don't know out there, it doesn't take a big search engine look into Tucker Carlson's career to see that he has worked for everybody. Mm-hmm. And whenever he has worked at Headline News, he was doing the Democratic thing. When he was at Fox, he was doing the Republican thing.
He worked at MSNBC for a while. I know people forget that.
Yeah. Kid Rock's no different. I can't make it as an R&B. I can't make it as a pop star, so I'm going to go into hip hop. I can't make it into hip hop, so I'm going to go into country. I can't make it in country, so now I'm just going to go ahead and whine.
I guess this also proves that it's all an act,
yes,
as well. Yeah. It's just like it's all for show. That's all it is.
It's not too surprising to me that this happened. What's surprising to me is the way that people are shocked by it. That really kind
sour
of
grapes.
Me. A real quick note on David Harbour, who is, of course, famous from Stranger Things. He doesn't want to be just famous from Stranger Things. David Harbour wants to be in more movies once Stranger Things wraps up because he doesn't want to only be known as Sheriff Hopper.
Okay.
He said, quote, "I think about George Clooney leaving ER. Now we just see him as George Clooney, but there was a time when it was that guy from ER doing a movie with Nicole Kidman." Which is very true.
Yeah.
For a long time. I get this. And he says, quote, "I don't want people to yell Hopper at me on the street every 5 minutes the rest of my life." I completely get that. And I know as a young person, that was a fear of mine, even though I didn't have even anywhere near a career. It was something that I worried about because I was typecasted a lot. The first 30 roles I ever played were villains. And I thought, oh, this is all I'm ever going to get to do is play villains my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I hated that, and I was scared of it. And I've told this story before, and I will tell it again, about the great Larry Hackman from Dallas.
Yep, that's right.
He's on the Johnny Carson show, and Johnny asked him, "Larry, you're a classically trained actor. You've been in, you've done every great Broadway show there is. You've done this, this, and this. And now you're known for a soap opera as J.R. Ewing. And people call you J.R. down the street and stuff. And how do you feel about this?" And he looked at Johnny Carson, didn't bat an eye, and said, "Johnny, I don't care if they put J.R. on my tombstone. I'm getting paid to do what I love to do." And I hang my hat on that.
as much as it fears me to the idea of being typecasted or being typed my whole career, I will take it if that means I get to have a career.
Yeah.
I don't hear many artists who are one-hit wonders say, man, I wish I didn't have that one hit. You know, you're still pretty thankful that you're known for, you know, Land Down Under or whatever your one hit was.
I got two quick things on this. First of all, since I only watched the first season of Stranger Things, I don't consider him, you know, that's the character because I've seen him in, you know, Marvel movies. You know, he was in Black Widow and he's in Gran Turismo now coming out and stuff. I just think of him as an actor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Second, he had a very good... I don't know if I want to call it a cautionary tale that worked with him on Stranger Things, Matthew Modine. At one point, Matthew Modine was the next big thing.
Yep. Yep.
And it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But look at, he's still working. He's still getting, he worked on Stranger Things. I mean, that's the kind of thing I think what you're referring to is like, you know, even if you don't get the, you know, the maybe where you think you should be or something like that, hey, man, you're still working. That's basically what you were saying. And it's like, look at guys like this. Hey, they're happy. I bet you Matthew Modine is thrilled that he was on Stranger Things.
Right.
That he could do this, could be on a big show again. I'm sure he loved it. So
another actor that was on that series, Sean Astin, who was, you know, up and comer and going to do great things and everything. And he's been kind of typed. And then gets another role and is typed for that role. And is
it's a weird career.
Yeah, very, very interesting career.
Yeah.
But one of those people, whenever you see an interview with Sean Astin, no matter what the age, smiling, happy, I'm so happy to be here kind of guy. Yep. Like, I love that energy. I would hope that I would have that kind of energy with whenever the break does happen.
Which is interesting for a guy who grew up in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, he had famous parents. So it's like, wow.
I still come back to the Samuel L. Jackson line when Jesus and Mara were interviewing him. Sam, did you ever do a movie for the money? All of them. What are you talking about? Yeah, all of them. Entertainment Tonight says that NSYNC is reuniting for the first time in over 20 years.
Oh, yay.
The word, that was a perfect response. Melissa just gave the response we all had. The word is that those other four guys who aren't Justin Timberlake are going to join Justin in the third Trolls movie. Trolls band together. And they're also recording a brand new song for the soundtrack.
Okay, there you go.
I forgot.
Good for them.
Justin's got a character in those movies, so that's why.
Okay, he's one of the main characters in that, yeah. Which apparently is what he does. That's what he does anymore. He does troll movies.
Yeah. Yes. We have some local things we want to touch on, but I actually have some homework for everybody out there. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. I'm not going to give you everything here. Ooh. For one, we don't have that time, and our morning show here is not necessarily a reporting show. We have reports from Melissa, who does great, amazing work in there, intertwined in this show, but we try to focus on entertainment and give you a break from all those things. Mm-hmm. I encourage people to check out a number of different articles, in particular the one at CNN Style, CNN.com. You can find this. You will find the headline, Famed Iranian Director Sentenced to Prison Over Cannes Film Festival Screening.
Interesting.
This is a story that does not get covered very often, but happens all the time. Famed Iranian director Saeed Rostari has been sentenced to 6 months in prison, according to local reports, after presenting his most recent film at the Cannes International Film Festival last year. Rostari screened the film Layli's Brothers, a movie about a family in Tehran trying to make ends meet, in competition for the Palme d'Or Award, their upper echelon, the top award. This movie talks about the issues and the struggles over there. Now, according to the government, Rosari and Liang brothers producer Yahavi Nogarbi were sentenced to 6 months for airing the film and, quote, contributing to the opposition's propaganda against the Islamic regime. The two will each serve about 9 days in prison, with the remainder of their sentences suspended over 5 years. That this is in part because that way they cannot film during that 5 years. So they stretch this out so they're not able to make future projects. Right. There is other layers to this story, but I would hope that everybody that cares about freedom, that cares about independence, that cares about righteousness, that cares about just being right in this world, you read up on this story and you understand why the work that we are doing here with the writers and the actors strikes, it's gigantic. Mm. And it's a tie into things like this.
Mm, yeah.
It all ties together. Yeah. And I also hope that while I am a big believer in woke culture, because if for any other reason, then so we can get the things correct, you know, where they should be. But I hope that people can have the perspective of understanding that, you know, there are some tripes and there are some tough things going on in this country. There's other issues in other countries that we can't even wrap our minds around. You mean I came out with a movie? This movie doesn't even go all out on, like, the whole movie and the main thought is against Islam or against the Muslimism or something like that. It's just in there. It's read between the lines and it's there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got movie people whine. We got the people whining about the Jim Caviezel movie and whatever and stuff. Like, oh, people are. It's not getting the Hollywood treatment. It's not getting this. Wah 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 wah. Like, miss me with this stuff, man. What are you talking about? You're free. Are you walking around free right now? Are you free because of a movie that you were a part of? Because this is real, like, art. What these people are doing, what they are going through, with the trials and tribulations they are going through, are actual struggles. Not right.
You're telling the real stories.
My movie wasn't released in enough places. I can't get a fair shake. Get the out of here with this.
Very good impression, by the way.
First off, get in line, because black filmmakers have been dealing with this since the dawn of film. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, this is real strife. This is what real creatives, when you get pushed, where is your money? Where are your actions? What are you really made of? Mm-hmm. Because these producers, these writers, and these directors that were in these films, that's art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're willing to put themselves at risk to share these stories and show them to the world.
You got
it. And now they're paying the consequences for it.
Check out Director's Cut, everybody.
Nice segue.
Thank you. Worked all night on that. Yesterday, Director's Cut premiered with the episode of Mary Jo Peel. Mm-hmm. And just wanted to say a special shout out to her again for joining us.
Yeah.
And to all the mad feedback we got from that episode, Seth.
Already? Wow, I'm glad to hear that.
My phone was blowing up. If you missed it, go to civicmedia.us shows, and you'll be able to find not only that show podcast, but all of our great shows here under the Civic Media umbrella. Yeah. And again, thank you to Mary Jo for joining us.
Any place that has podcasts, actually, you can go to the Apple Podcast, Spotify. Mm-hmm. You'll find it there. So if you don't want to go on, just use your phone. You'll find it.
And speaking of podcasts, What the Muppet? It's a Muppet Monday, everybody. Be sure to, wherever you get your podcasts, check out What the Muppet, the wonderful podcast made by Bria Krieger and me, I guess.
You're there.
I'm present. Bria does an amazing job with these. You can also check out the YouTube page. I encourage you to subscribe to that. Just, again, throw into your search bar, What the Muppet, and subscribe and have some fun. Enjoy, everybody.
Yeah.
I will say this. This episode that premiered today is the one where I feel like we found our niche, where we found our footing.
Got into your groove.
Yeah. And,
nice.
And going forward, it's just been really, really flowing, really good.
Very cool.
And thank you, everybody, who has already checked it out.
Yeah, right.
We'll get to something much more important, Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thank you for joining us for Smooth Jazz on 97.5 FM. We've changed the format again, everybody. No, wait.
Just kidding.
Joking.
Someone's going to hear that, like, oh, great.
I can't help it. It's Sade. I can't, it does something to me. Something about that woman's voice. It hits me. Child of the 80s. That's what it'll do to you. You can tell children of the 80s right away with that.
Okay, but that beat had the very same opening as the Kokomo song.
It does. It has the very... I can't believe that nothing ever came of that. Even as a kid, I could hear that. Like, in the beginning of Kokomo... Like, because Kokomo came after Sade.
Yes,
after,
it did.
After that and everything.
Just so everyone knows, you will... In any bumper series, any bumper rotator that I make, you will never hear Kokomo. Just so you know, you will never, ever, ever hear Kokomo.
That is genuinely funny to me. That is great. I got to get into this one here. These days, everyone, even grandma, can admit that they've seen some cool tattoos. And they can actually boast a person's look depending on what they are going for.
All right.
In a new survey, 32% of tattooed adults say that they got at least one of their tattoos to, quote, improve their personal appearance.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
47% say that they got a tattoo to make a statement about what they believe. 69% say that they got one to, quote, honor or remember someone or something. Mm. And only 24% of people with tattoos say that they regret getting one.
Hmm.
Overall, 32% of Americans have a tattoo, and the same percentage goes for liberals and conservatives, urban dwellers and small town folk, veterans and non-veterans.
Wow. Pretty even
so
mix
they're pretty
there.
Evenly spread, yeah.
Yeah.
And it gets even more even. Women, 38%, are slightly more likely than men, 27%, to have a tattoo, but those are still very close numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Lower income earners, 43%, are more likely than higher income at 21%, but that a little more distant.
Hmm.
And LGBTQ folk, 51%, are more likely than those who are straight, 31%.
Oh, wow. That's a big difference. So but that's
some differences
yeah.
a little bit later there.
Yeah.
But I remember this was about 4 or 5 years ago, seeing a local commercial, local bank ad. And they, you know, your typical local commercial, you know, they come to so-and-so and, you know, savings and all this. And they're showing the people going in as the narrator's talking over them. And the person goes to the counter, the woman handing this person their change had a bunch of tattoos on her arm.
Mm.
And this was a local ad.
Yeah.
And I just thought, wow, we're at that point where it just don't matter
doesn't
anymore.
Doesn't really matter
you know,
that
it really,
much. Yeah.
It really doesn't matter. It's over there. And these stats really show this. We may have found the most universal thing that everybody has in common. I thought it was Dolly Parton, but it's this. It might be tattoos. It might be.
Does Dolly have any tattoos? Maybe.
I
don't think that she's shown.
No, not that she's shown, but I think she has said that she has one that she will not show. I'm almost positive of that, but I'm not 100% though.
It would make sense.
I do think
But it's a form of personal expression.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
I saw this headline, read the article, and immediately came out of it like, well, I've never done that. I never got a tattoo for a personal appearance. And then I thought about it and I'm like, wait, nope, that's not true. That's not true. I've never felt comfortable with my body. Mm-hmm. Not one day of my life. Now, I've grown to pull it off, like where I you know, okay.
Accept it?
Yeah, yes. Right. I've begrudgingly gone to accept it, and somehow some confidence has grown from that, but a very quiet confidence. But I will say that where, because I have pipe cleaners for arms. Like, no matter how much I work out, how much tone I put in them, they are still pipe cleaners. Having tattoos on my arms made me feel more comfortable having sleeveless clothes or having my shirt off, which is a nice thing because of summer.
True. I mean, that's something to be said for that.
And I think that everybody should feel comfortable in their own skin. Mm-hmm. And it helped me get to that point.
Yeah.
I've also gotten them to honor family members and those things. So I'm all over the gamut on this.
You got it all, man.
But I will say I have never been the person and don't agree with the type of person that just walks into a tattoo shop and gets a tattoo just because, well, Joe has one, or Tammy has one or something like that. I don't necessarily agree with that. But it's your body. Teach their own.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. It seems like an odd way to, you know, just because it seems like, you know, like all your friends are doing it, that kind of thing. But that's just them. That's not the reason they got it in all likelihood. They got it for other reasons like we just went over. So, yeah, bandwagon reasons, I would say, it's kind of permanent. You know, there's other bandwagon things you can get on that aren't quite so permanent,
are,
you know?
Yeah, less permanent. And there you can have tattoo removal, but I'm sorry, you can't go back to not what it was before,
no matter how good
it is.
And you have to pay for it twice, basically.
Yeah.
To get it and then get it removed, right? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I did find out Dolly does have some small designs. They're tasteful and little.
Okay.
Nice.
It consists of an angel, ribbons, bows, butterflies, and beehives.
That totally makes sense.
I got that. Yeah. If we were going to write down what was Dolly Parton to have tattoos of, at least one of those would have come up.
Butterflies would have come up. Yeah.
Definitely.
They're all pastel and mostly hidden.
Okay. There you go.
I do have to note this just because it's come up a number of times over the years with listeners that I've mentioned I'm Jewish and that I have tattoos. And if you know a little bit about the Jewish faith, we are not supposed to. Our body is a temple. We're not supposed to have piercings or tattoos or any of these things. To me, I am a rebel, and I fight against these things and stuff. And as a young person, that was a big deal to me to own this. It felt ridiculous to me. I knew plenty of people of the Jewish faith that had tattoos and are some of the strongest, most faithful people I've ever known.
Right.
So I didn't quite understand it. And I also didn't quite like the idea that we were tattooed in World War II.
Mm.
To me, a full accumulation of this was the tattoo that I have on my left arm, right on my forearm, that is a Star of David with a cross in the middle. Mm-hmm. That is for my mom and dad. That is a tattoo that my best friend in the world also has that I share in unison with him and out of our friendship. But it's also, I have it in this specific place because this is where we were tattooed during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like, and I was told from people, well, if you do get a tattoo, man, you can't get one there. Oh, you can't do that. All the history behind it and all this and everything. Why? They took enough from us. They don't get to take that. They're going to take now they're going to take a body part away from me. I can get tattooed on my neck, on my face, behind my ear, all these other places. But God forbid I get tattooed right there because of World War II and blah, blah, blah. No, the Nazis took enough from my people. They're not taking this. I'm taking that back. And so I specifically put this right here. And where I've had two different sets when I was in California, I had a rabbi see it and called me out for it and said I shouldn't have. And we had an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. And I've also a lifetime family friend, a rabbi, tell me that, I hope I see more of that.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Teach their own.
Everybody's going to have their opinions.
Have never had a real chance to really express that, and they've gotten a lot of feedback over the years on it. There you go.
There you go. Now you know. Star Swipe.
Yes. And that's the rest of the story.
Thank you, Mr. Harvey.
We'll take it a break. Come back. We'll have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. What's with this? Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. I look nothing like Buddy Holly.
No, you don't. No. No, you don't. You're wearing glasses today, but that's about it. Yeah,
I'm wearing my glasses. We hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. We're going to take it to the top of the hour, wrap up the show. Thank you so much for kicking off your week with us, everyone. We greatly appreciate it. We get into a That Ain't Right story here, and this is kind of one that I feel like some of us saw coming. Some woman on TikTok went viral claiming free bread and chips are actually a tactic restaurants use to make you spend more. Simple carbs like that spike your blood sugar really fast, and in the short term, that makes you hungrier. A lot of times, they'll bring the bread before you've ordered because then you look at the menu suddenly and want everything. It's not the only reason they give you bread. We also just enjoy free stuff and won't get as angry if our food takes a while, and it subconsciously makes us tip more. But the fact that it whets your appetite is a reason so many places do it.
Yeah.
Whets your appetite, sorry.
Yes.
Don't let them fool you, though. Those rolls and chips aren't really free. They're just baked into the price of everything else.
Of course. Of course.
Now, is this the opposite of what we grew up hearing? Don't eat too much bread before dinner. You'll fill up on bread. How many of us have heard that growing up?
Yeah.
My nana never hit me unless I was going for the rolls of bread before. God help me.
You got smack on the hand.
Yep. I've got scars. Not scars, but I'm just not that bright, but I genuinely believed that, and I thought that really up until recent times I thought this.
Well, I realize that this is mostly like at quote unquote ethnic restaurants.
Yes,
of course, because Mexican places of course have the chips.
You have chips
and dip
that
you get before, and it's usually at Italian places where they give you the breadsticks or the bread.
Bread and salad,
and usually at higher end restaurants, they give you come with a loaf of bread or something like that. But it's not like it's universal, but. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's. I would say it's like a nefarious thing that they're trying to get you to. Wouldn't that just make you order food and then not eat it? I don't think they want that either, right?
Because that's food wastage. Yeah, or you take it home with you.
I suppose. Yeah. Or you'd eat it later. Yeah.
They're trying to whet your appetite with bread. Like, were you coming to a restaurant because you weren't hungry and you were hoping the bread rolls are going to make you hungry? Like, what?
I like that. That's funny.
That's very, very good and very funny. That's so good.
I'm not really hungry. I think I'll go to the place and eat some bread.
Right.
What?
Maybe that'll, wake my stomach up.
Have you tried this, James?
No, that's good. That was good.
Maybe it'll be the thing.
I'm going to bring you rolls instead of bananas there from now on.
Yep.
To gain some weight.
Bread, it's what's for dinner.
Yeah.
If that wasn't that ain't right, this one sure is. Here's some parenting expert advice for everybody out there. There are two kinds of parenting advice, the kind that will help you keep your kid alive and the kind that's not welcome.
Oh, no.
Doctors are warning parents to avoid playfully tossing their kids in the air if they have ceiling fans.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
yes.
A study in the journal Pediatrics found that between 2013 and 2021, emergency rooms saw 20,500 ceiling fan-related injuries.
Oh, no.
And about 2,300 kids are treated in the ERs each year for head injuries caused by ceiling fans.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. That's way too high of a number.
Four would be too high for me.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm sorry. I was piggybacking on what you were saying, Melissa. Yeah. This is great. Wow. Did anybody see this coming? Because I did not.
No.
And it's probably even more common than that because they only count the children who actually went to the ER, not the
that
kids
come
who,
in.
Yeah, just
yeah.
bump their head or whatever. Walk it off, Timmy.
Kids are elastic.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
That ain't right, man.
Well,
that ain't right.
This raises questions. Like, how high are you tossing these kids up, man?
Yeah.
I did it with my kids, but it was like, you know, inches. You know, just a little bit, little catch, little yeah, like yeah, that, you know, yeah. to get them to giggle a little bit. But that's it. There's not a Guinness record for this, I don't
right,
think,
right,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Nor should there be.
No, please. Dear God.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
That ain't right. That is not good. That is not good. Yeah. We need a palate cleanser. We need some good stories of the day.
All right.
And I've been dying to talk about this one all morning. The Brookfield Zoo, my favorite zoo in the world, the first place that I went to as a kid, field trip-wise.
Nice.
The Brookfield Zoo in Illinois announced the birth of a healthy addax, a species of African antelope considered critically endangered.
Ooh.
The zoo said visitors visiting the outdoor antelope enclosure on August 8th were able to witness the birth of the approximately 15-pound male calf.
Wow. How amazing.
How cool is that? You go to the zoo and you just happen to see something like this?
That would be amazing, yeah.
The baby was born to first-time mother Ivy at the age of four. Ivy is such a great name for an albino animal.
Yes.
It was the fifth calf for the father.
Whoa.
The Brookfield Zoo was the first zoo in the country to host an attic birth in 1941.
Whoa. You got a history of it. Cool.
The animals were once found across northern Africa, but today only a small population survive in Chad and Niger.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool right here
that
in America.
That is very cool. Yes.
Like just four some hours away from us that happening. That's pretty darn cool, I think. That's a good story of the day right there, I believe. Another great one going on right now is the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge. We are calling on all heroes.
Yeah.
We understand there is a great shortage out there, and us here at Civic want you to be a part of this. We've got great blood donation opportunities coming up. One of them coming up next week here in Wisconsin Rapids. We've got many of them going on at the Stevens Point Blood Donation Center.
Yep.
Encourage you to reach out to them. Wherever you go to get donation or to get blood, take a selfie after you do it. Use that selfie and upload it on all your social media. Use the hashtag CivicPints, and good things will happen.
That's right. Always good things happen.
You will have a chance to win, get Civic Media gear, Brewers tickets, State Fair tickets. Most importantly, you are part of doing some good in this world and
putting some good into this world.
Being a hero.
The most important thing. Yeah.
You can go to civicmedia.us/giveblood and upload your photo right there and be a part of the change. Be a part of this, everybody.
It's very cool.
And we'll meet you at the Central Wisconsin State Fair. It kicks off tomorrow. We're excited about this.
Yeah.
I am. I'm going to be there from 2 to 5 tomorrow.
All right.
Come on by and say hi to Melissa. I might be down.
Give us your thoughts. Stop in at the Truth Booth and tell your story or vent or just rant, whatever
you
want. You
know,
we're here for it.
Yeah. But just remember, we might be broadcasting these, so keep it clean.
Yes.
Remind you.
Well, there's always the edit button. These aren't going out live. So, but if you mention WFHR or WIRI, you get a shirt.
Yeah. We've got this great new logo rollout that we are doing with our WFHR and WIRI logos. The first will be the WIRI logo. That change is coming. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
And before you freak out, the chicken is still there.
That's right.
The chicken is still there.
Absolutely.
It's not going anywhere. Yep.
We want to send a big shout out to Rebecca Sullivan and all of our friends at Civic Media doing such great work on this.
Working hard behind the scenes.
Yes. Come by, say you mentioned you heard this, get a shirt, and be on the lookout because we're going to be giving these shirts out left and right coming up, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
We want everyone to wear them. Yeah.
I want by Christmas to be bopping around town and seeing these shirts all over the place.
That'd be awesome.
Go again to civicmedia.us and find out more information and stream us 24/7 and find all of our great podcasts. Oh, did I mention podcasts? Be sure to download and check out What the Muppet, everybody. it's out there. That's a good story of the day, What the Muppet. No, that's actually what I wanted to talk about was the City of Wisconsin Rapids seeking community input on naming its new dog park.
Very good.
Now until September 1st at noon, the public may submit naming suggestions online to wirapids.org/dogpark. That's wirapids.org/dogpark. Additionally, you can drop them off in person at Winter Park Aquatic Center, Wisconsin Rapids Parks and Rec Department, Southwood County Humane Society, McMillan Memorial Library, Bow Wow Meow, or you can call up normally here at the station 424-2600 and get us your names.
By tomorrow. We'll get that fixed by tomorrow.
Yeah, today you'll have to email or message, but we'll still get it.
We had from Beth, Play Pause Park. Mm-hmm. From Al and Nakusa, we had Dogs, Dogs, Dogs. Melissa gave us Poop, Scoop, and Run. Seth gave us
I think that's the best.
it's a good one. Seth gave us Poochie Park. We had this one submitted to us from St. Paul last week. Woof, woof, walk away.
I like that one.
That's not.
I kind of like
that's
that
bad.
One. Yeah.
That's not a bad one. I like that one. And we know there are better. There are more and better ones out there, and great ones out there. Not better, but great ones out there.
Oh, so yeah.
Keep getting them to us, everybody. We want to hear them.
Yeah.
And be sure to join us for Playmakers today, everyone. 3 to 4, we will be live and direct as we are every Monday from 3 to 4 to take your sports thoughts, feelings. Call up at 424-2600. Join Randy, Paul, and I. We'll be talking about some local stuff, sports-wise. We'll also be focusing pretty heavily on the baseball season as your Brewers are hot right now.
They are. They're on fire.
They are hot. Playing darn good baseball right now. Looking forward to talking about that.
Terrible time because we're playing the Twins. Stop that. What are you doing?
And really talking about whatever you want to talk about. It's your show, everybody. Join Randy and I. And if we're talking baseball and you want to talk water polo.
Ping pong. Up, yep. Ping pong.
Ping pong.
Want to talk ping pong.
Yep. Melissa, you call up and we'll talk ping pong. We're looking forward
Excellent.
To it. Be sure to join us every Monday from 3 to 4 for Playmakers. Yeah. A big shout out to Quality Post Printing, sponsoring the show.
Yeah. You can talk to Randy about the game he did on Friday with Assumption steamrolling another team. I mean, that was something. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Looking forward to getting Randy's feedback on that one. And real quick, the odds of this are crazy. Two kids got adopted separately by the same family in Staten Island 2 decades ago and just found out they're biological siblings.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Their names are Frank and Victoria. He's 22 and got adopted after someone left him on the steps of a daycare. Then a year later, his sister was adopted in a similar situation.
How about that?
Oh, my.
I saw that story this weekend, and I got my heart in my throat. How beautiful is that, man?
That's lovely.
That's a really cool story.
It is.
Great story, you guys. Thank you for hanging out with us today. We'll be back with more tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
Yes.
You too.
Mornings on WFHR.